This is study 201. We had 200 last time, but we are to 201 now, and we're still in 2 Timothy 2. And we've gotten down to verse 15, maybe 16. And to realize that the Apostle Paul was writing this to Timothy, and it was his second letter to Timothy, or epistle to Timothy. And to realize that Paul is about to wind up his career in the work of the Lord, and that there's what he's telling him in these last three or four chapters of this book is the fact that we need to realize exactly what it is that he's, we really need to realize what he's telling Timothy here, because he's not going to have another chance to do it. And he knows he's not going to have another chance, but as Ronnie and I have been talking about these dispensations and these things about not my people, you know, this one has gone on for 2,000 years almost. And because Israel is not God's people at this time, it is the one new man. It's not a national thing anymore. It is a individual type situation. And so when you look at it, especially 1st and 2nd Timothy, you realize that there's a lot that Paul is kind of recapping to Timothy, because Timothy has not been in the presence of Paul, but he has had people that went back and forth from where he was to where Paul was, and they had this understanding that they could work these things through that Paul has been teaching to other people, that where Timothy would not be. So kind of what we would say, kind of left out of the loop. And so this is where we're at. And in verse 14, we'll go back and read 14 before we read 15, but if you look, there's a lot of putting in the remembrance here that Paul is writing to Timothy, because when he says, put this in your memory, or put this in remembrance, that was something that he really made a strong point of, that he would keep up the work that Paul had started and wouldn't change it to where it wouldn't be known, where what he was teaching and preaching would be still be truly known, to where he could tell others, it would tell others also. And so I'll just start with 14 here of 2 Timothy 2. It says, of these things, the things that we've been talking about the last four or five studies here, 10 studies or even 20 studies, and it says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And of course, this goes back to Satan and him wanting to subvert the words of God, or to make them no profit, or to get something else going that would pull you away from the things that was being said, and getting the hope that could be given out of these verses of Scripture. So this is you can see the war still going on there. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about the athlete and about the soldier, and you would wonder why that would be brought up, but you know, they was examples here. And so verse 15 is one of the greatest examples that I know, and I have used it kindly out of context, because I've had occasions to talk with people about what I was doing on my job and why I was doing it and the fact that I could do it quite often without any direction or very little direction. And I had one guy to do that, and I'll explain that as if we have time at the end of the study tonight. But let's go to 15. And it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Because the approval is God's. And we'll talk about that a little bit too as we get into it. It says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so this is to Timothy from Paul, and he's telling them, look, stick with the truth, stick with what you know, and the approval will come from God the Father. Because the example, believe it or not, the example was the Son of God. And that was God's example. And so the Word will give you, a lot of times, the perfect example. And Christ was the perfect example, because in the aeons before, they had agreed to all this. And it was already... it had already been prophesied in Scripture. And a lot of this stuff, you know, people didn't like. They didn't like the prophet or didn't like what the prophet was saying. They couldn't do anything about God's Word, but they could do something to the prophet. They could,
and usually they did.
And they usually took his life.
Yep.
And so here we are. So you see the importance of this. And I think this is one of the linchpins of Scripture, in Paul's Scripture, according to that, because it is very important that this take place. Okay, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, because the principal thing here is rightly dividing the word of truth, and to study. And so I will go ahead and read my notes, and then we'll get started the way we always do. And you can take my notes, and you can agree or not agree. But when I get to looking and I write these things down, I try to make it understandable in a way that I can, and I hope that everybody else can too. Study here is 4704 in the Strong's, and it's in the Greek it is spodazu, and that means to use speed. Well, how come speed is important? Well, a lot of times when you get to talking with somebody, or you get witnessing to them a little bit, if it don't really catch their mind and catch something that they want to think about, they're not going to stay with you very long. So you know, you got to do it in a hurry. And he's telling Timothy, you know, to use that word spodazu, to use speed, to be prompt, to make effort, to be diligent, to give labor, study to enlighten with knowledge. And it says study to show. Okay, the show part of this thing is to present before God in fullness His Christ, His Son, Christ's blood. and what that blood did for mankind. To reconcile unto himself the all things for the approval. And so what God was looking for was the approval of all things concerning his word. And this is what Paul was trying to get over to Timothy. And that approval there is the word dokimos. And it's used for man to show himself unto God in manner like unto his son. If you show to God in like manner, the way the son, when he used his life and he went to the cross, he asked God to take the cup from him, but he knew that wasn't going to happen. But still, he asked for it anyway. But that didn't faze any part of that situation there, or this example here, to be like his son and go ahead and do exactly what he is supposed to do regardless. And he did that. And he gave his life, and all the prophecies that had been written by him, by what he was to do, was fulfilled. It took place, and just the way that the Father would have it taken place. So the all things here worked out very good through his son. And we're talking here about a workman. The workman in the Greek is ergates, and it's translated laborer 10 times in Scripture, workers or workmen 6 times, and all those times there was a point there that really could have been added up to that needeth not to be ashamed or without cause for shame. Whenever you're witnessing the Son of God or God's name to people, there should not be any shame or cause to shame to be involved in it. Rightly dividing or straightly cutting across. And the cutting across is another word in the Greek, and that's orthomeo. And cutting across the word of truth, orthomeo. And so we've got Jack's notes and things to look at, and we've got a little bit of scripture going here too. Not as much as we had on the last verse, last study, but it's still kind of loaded up here because of the subject matter. Okay, so let's look at what Jack left for us here. And I got part of it on one page. No, let's see, 15. Oh, here we go. I didn't need to take that out, but I'll leave it right there. Verse 15, it says, looking in Jack's workman's interlinear and bringing it down out of the Koine Greek down to the English, it says this, be diligent yourself, approved, to present to the God workman, not made ashamed, straight cutting the word of the truth. And so that's the way it comes out in 15, in 2 Timothy 2:15. And then on down to the more modern English, it says, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a workman, not made ashamed, straight cutting the word of truth. Well, this straight cutting here makes you again realize that what was done here by Christ when the Father wanted this planet made, the Son made the planet. Then he cut and carved out of himself what we have here and what has been made fit for mankind. And so we're not lacking anything with that. And it may not look like it did to begin with, but you know, the world was in the water when God started redoing this thing, and it had been spinning I don't know how many aeons of time in the water there, but when he started to make mankind, he made him from the dust of judgment, because that earth had been put in that water for a cleansing and for judgment. And these things that were probably there in lump form at one time, and maybe has been broken down into dust. Even the gold that we have is generally, you don't find it in very ground big pieces.
Ground into
dust. It's ground up. And so here we are. So it wound up going through a process that we may have not have understood very well as we go down through God's word of understanding. And here's Jack's notes. Jack says, be busy, but not aimlessly. Focus on your calling. Follow after it in a sincere, unmixed manner. God knows your heart, but it should be obvious to all what you're up to. Consider all this. Your heart should be desirous of his approval, his well done, the Father's well done, Jack says, is far above all others. No crown matches his blessings. Amen. You know, you might get a crown, but they don't match the blessings that God can give out, because he has them. Does he see you as a workman in his precious word, or are you only just a talker? It takes work to decipher and delineate God's words appropriately and to his pleasing. His spirit will teach the heart of the open and diligent worker. And so this is what this is kind of what Paul is trying to get across to Timothy, because Timothy's going to be given a tough chore for the rest of his life to do these things. But evidently he did it pretty good, because 2,000 years later, here we sat reading and talking about it. Now,
preserved somehow.
It got preserved somehow in some way that was pleasing unto God. And so what he's doing here is rehashing the things that he and the Son talked about, and he saw what the Son did and how he did it, and he did it exactly like the Father expected it to be done. This is what he expects out of you and me as witnesses to what we know and understand, and that it can be open to others that have an open mind and open heart. And so, having said that, we'll get involved in our Bible scripture that Jack left with us. And there is a few, not a lot, but a few Let's see about getting into them now. Let's go back, way back to Proverbs. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 3. It's on page, where we're going to is 868. We're going to go to Proverbs 3. 868, if you have a companion Bible. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 4 of chapter 3. And this is Jack, what Jack wanted us to look at, but I might have added a verse or two into it because sometimes I do that because it seems in my mind to be, to give you a little more, of the strength of the Word of God. It says, "My son, forget not my law." Wow. "But let thine heart keep thy commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee." Full stop. We need to stop and think about that a second. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Okay? So that's the first one. And, you know, we could go on. 5 and 6 is real important there too. But sometimes when you get looking for something to think about, go to Proverbs 3 and just read it. It's very good understanding here. Okay. And the next one, we'll go from Proverbs to Romans. And, pretty good little jump in scripture. But we're gonna go first off, we're going to go to chapter 16 in Romans, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 3 there. 16, 1 through 3. And Paul says to them, "I commend you, Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Caesarea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also." And this is Paul writing this. In verse 3 it says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life have laid down their own necks, and to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." And so I added another verse to that. But that makes sense because the things that Brother Paul had to put up with down through his ministry is he needed all the help he could certainly get to help him in his chore that God had given him on the Damascus Road to do. 2 Corinthians 2 is where we're going to go to now. 2 Corinthians 2. I'm having a little problem here getting 2 Corinthians 2. We're going to look at 16 and 17. And that's on page 1730. If you have a companion Bible, 16 and 17 of verse of chapter 2. And it's on page 1731 rather than 1730. It says, to the one we are the savior of death unto death, and to the other the savior of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? That's the question. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. We're not as many as which corrupt the word of God. So he's telling the Corinthians here that we're in a little different group. But as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. And so that's the example. Christ is always the example of the finished work of Christ, of God, is Christ.
Amen.
Okay. Now, I think there's more here. Okay, that's chapter 2. We go into chapter 4. That's page 733. And it's just one turn of a page over in the Companion Bible, if that's what you're working out of. But we're going to look at chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 3 there. And on 732 and goes to 733. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And Paul goes on to say, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Okay, if he says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. They don't have the understanding that they need to get involved in this thing further, because Paul is saying, you know, if this is all written bringing these Corinthians around to the truth of God and not going to each other with their problems so much, but taking them before the Lord. Okay. And so that was the two in Corinthians that we needed to look at. So let's go on to Ephesians. And we're going to Ephesians 5. 25 through 27. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. That's on page 7. Okay. Yeah, 1769 is the page. And we're going to look at what? 25, verse 25 through 27. And this one is dealing kind of with families and family situations. So it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And he's looking for the spotless things here of husbands and wives and families, that they need to come up and be involved in the work of the Lord. Okay. Then we're going to go to Philippians. Two places in Philippians. We're going to start Philippians 1:8. And I know we kind of changed that around a little bit, because when I first heard it being read as being someone who now believes God, I kind of questioned, well, why did you change that? But it makes sense. Philippians 1:8 on page 1773, if you have a companion Bible, we're going to look through 8, 9, and 10. It says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." And it says, "that you may approve things that are excellent." And the rendering there is that you may try the things that differ. Because what the world puts out is one thing, but what God puts out is excellent. It may not be. You may not notice the excellency of it until you get involved. "That you may be sincere, without offense, until the day of Christ." Okay, there's another one here that in Philippians that we need to look at. And it will be just probably turn the page if you have a companion Bible, because it is one verse. 1:20 in the first chapter of Philippians, verse 20, and it's on page 1774, and it says this: "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or whether it be by death." And I can't help but read the next verse: "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So Paul says, you know, all these things that beset me, whether I live or whether I die, it's all for the glory of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, and that was his earnest expectations. And here we are in 2 Timothy reading these things, and the expectations are going to soon be gone, because his life is just about down. Okay, so we're going to go from Philippians to 1 Timothy. From Philippians to Timothy, the fifth chapter of Timothy. 1 Timothy 5, and then 1 Timothy 5, we're going to look at 17 and 18. That's on page 18, 5. Let's see if I've told you right. My pages are sticking together a little bit. It's
humid
tonight. And for some reason,
humidity,
they're wore out somewhat. I don't know how they got that.
I know that too.
1 Timothy 5:17-18. Okay, yeah, it's on page 18:5, the last two verses, if you have a companion Bible. It says, let the elders that rule be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And the laborer is worthy of his reward. So you see, I looked at this when we were doing Timothy, and I said, well, why would we have a verse of scripture here about the ox treading out the corn? Well, the laborer is worthy of his, it's work that needs to be rewarded. And if you were plowing with an ox in the corn and he reached across from his muzzle and grabbed a stalk of corn, he was probably worthy of that stalk of corn because he had worked himself into that situation.
Yep.
Because it says the laborer here is worthy of it. So if that stalk of corn was that reward, well, if you're in the Word of God, then whatever the Holy Spirit asks you to do, if it's done in the way that the Lord's will is, the reward is there somewhere in some way. Okay. Now, we got two more places to go to. We got one in James. And in the book of James, let me get to James. Okay, in James 1:12-13, and I didn't put my marker there. I'm afraid I didn't. I couldn't remember which one I'd left out. So that's page 1848. We're going to look at verses 12 and 13 of James 1. 1848. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm sorry, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God doesn't tempt any man. He doesn't have to. And then we get to Peter. First chapter of Peter, that's on page 1855. The next book over. And it's page 18, I said 1855. And we're going to look at 1 Peter 1:7. He says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perished, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay. So we've got that verse, according to what we need to look at and what Jack had added to it. We've done that. So let's go back to 2 Timothy 2. And if I can find where my place is, yeah. And let's look at the next verse. After studying to show thyself approved unto God, the next verse, but shun profane and vain babblings, full stop, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So, the fact is here that Paul wanted Timothy to understand they were things that you were going to have to walk away from. Because there's some people that just won't stand and listen. And if they do, it's not for hearing the word of God. It's just to bide time or do some other things that man gets involved in sometimes that he might not should do. But let's look at it again. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So there's things that are profane, and there are things that are vain. They are of no use. They're no good. Anything that's vain, there's nothing that you can find about it that's worth anything. So let's look at my notes. It says, but shun. And he's telling Timothy to turn around or turn aside from something. And that word in the Greek is periatissima. And that is from the word shun, or to move away from, or to turn aside, or to turn around. And profane, is the next word that we need to look at. And it is, in the Strong's in the Greek, it is 952. And profane means to cross over a threshold into an evil area. It is leaving holy ground, we'll put it that way. Okay?
Yes.
Crossing over a threshold, leaving holy ground. We won't even get involved with the evil area. And vain babblings, and that is no value. It is evil speculation, known into the Greek as kinophoda. It says, for they will increase or advance. And advance there is prokopto in the Greek, unto more ungodliness. So, I guess in the Greek, it would make more sense to Timothy. But still, these words mean specific things when they're used in Scripture. And we have two or three or four places we need to look at here. We're doing pretty good with our time tonight, better than I expected. Verse 16, out of the Koine Greek, but profane, empty babblings, turn around. Upon more, for they will advance ungodliness. And out of the English, more modern English, but turn from the profane empty babblings, for they will advance more upon ungodliness. And we have a, as man, we have a way of telling tales and stories, and we all got them, and I have a lot of them. And he says, but don't listen to tales and stories which have nothing but evil speculation as their genesis. So that's something good to understand. If you have a tale or a story, it needs to be one as an example of what the Word of God puts forth. So if you have that and you use these verses of scriptures as examples, and we certainly are going to use 2 Timothy 2:15 as an example, but that is because of what the Son did for the Father in complete harmony. And there's no evil speculation there. It is easy to become caught up in the workplace of professional rumor mill. Often tales are disturbing. We've all worked in places where people work there and would carry tales, and that's the way man is, that are not in tune with God's understanding and his hurt, and to walk circumspectly is extremely important. The Greek indicates the body member should actively avoid such. The prognosis for the tales and the rumors is not good. They tend toward ungodliness. They are slanted in the opposite direction towards which we should be aimed. Okay? And so we've got Timothy to go to, and we got Romans to go to again for a minute, and Titus. We're going to start with Romans. We're going to look at Romans 1. So let's go back to Romans 1 and finish our study up tonight. Romans 1, we're going to look at verses 17 and 18 to begin with. Romans 1, 17 and 18, that's on page 1663. Well, I need to go back to 16. I meant to write it down and didn't do it. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And I put a note in my Bible and said, yes, and not the law. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because if you can rightly divide it, it can be wrongly divided. Mm-hmm. And that's the subversion of Satan's work, is the unrighteousness of God's word being used for other purposes. Okay. There's another one there that we need to look at in Romans, and that's in Romans 11. Romans 11, we're going to look at 25 through 28. That's on page 1685. Romans 11, 25 through 28. says this, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened unto Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the believer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, as concerning the gospel, their enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake." So you see, the Father is the one that chose Abram, that came Abraham, because he believed God, and he built a nation that's called Israel out of the 12 tribes that came out of the loins of Abraham. Okay? Now, let's go to Romans 13 for a minute, and that's a couple of pages over. Romans 13, and we're going to look at 12 through 14. And that is on page 1688. And it says, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, nor drunkenness, not in chambering, nor wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Okay, that's what we have in Romans to look at. Okay, the next one is 1 Timothy 2. It's 1 Timothy 2. And we're going to look at 1 through 3. That's on page 1802. And we're going to look at 1 through 3 of 1 Timothy 2. And it says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving thanks to be made for all men, for kings and for all that are authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Then there is another one in 1 Timothy 6, which is another couple of pages over, or three pages, if you have a companion Bible. 1 Timothy 6, we're going to look at 20 and 21. One of them is next to the last verse in 1 Timothy, and the other one is the last verse. Page 1807 starts out. "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust." He says, remember these things, you know, when we first started of last week's study. But it says, "Keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings in opposition of science, falsely so called, which some profess, having erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen." That is how Paul ended his first letter to Timothy in 1 Timothy. That's what he told. That's the last thing he told him in that letter. Okay. 1 Timothy 6. Okay, so we got that one. Now, let's go to Titus. Two places in Titus. And that's just beyond 2 Timothy. In Titus 2, we're going to look at verses 11 and 13 in Titus 2. And that's on page 18. 11 through 13. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Page 18. There is one more. Chapter 3. I don't think you even have to turn the page. It's on. It's verse 8 and 9 of chapter 3. It may not be if you don't have a companion Bible, but if you have a companion Bible, it's just on the next page. 3, 8, and 9, page 18, 13, 19, I'm sorry. Verse 8 and 9, it says, "This is the faithful saying, and those things I will that thou firmly constantly, I will that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies, contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain or of no use." They don't work in any manner, any way unto the Lord. And so that's our study for these two verses for this day. But in thinking about this, and I got involved with it with one of the fellow leaders in the last plant that I worked in. And I will give you a little story of mine. But I wanted to make a point to this gentleman. He came here from Kearney, Nebraska, with one of the Eaton Corporation plants in Kearney, Nebraska, and he came to Westminster to U.S. Engine Valve as a production manager. And he was a micromanager. He didn't know much about people. And it was pretty evident that I don't think he knew God. But he had been there for 2 or 3 years. And it was a pretty long walk from where normally he office was and where he hung out to back where I worked. But see, our plant was owned by the plant in Lafayette, Indiana, Fairfield Manufacturing Company, before it was U.S. Engine Valve. And they did a lot of making different things, but part of their deal was making torque hubs. And they were going to get involved in making the torque hubs that went on the big platforms where they get oil out of the Gulf of Mexico. And so they built a plant here in Westminster. For whatever reason, now I don't know how come they chose the plant here. But that was when this ministry was moved from Warsaw, Indiana to Lafayette, Indiana. And I thought, boy, that's unusual in itself. But, you know, here they are. I worked for these folks, and I met some of them because some of them were brought down here from Lafayette to run the plant here. But this fella came from Kearney, Nebraska. And I had made they had big swarf buggies. And I used one of the swarf buggies from where they took their tailings off of their, turning their parts from the machinery to, they broke their chips down and blowed them up in a tank and sold them for metal again, scrap metal, I guess. But anyway, I use that as my throwaway box. And I could pick it up with a forklift, take it out, and dump it in the outside in the bins out back where they needed to be. I noticed about once a week, this guy would come back and go through the shop. He didn't have anything to do with me. I mean, as far as he'd never give me a print or anything, or said anything like what he wanted to do, but he saw my work every week from week to week. And he'd come back and he'd go over there and look in the box that I was going to dump. So after about 30 trips of that, I thought, well, I'd save him a little shoe sole use. Went over there and I said, what are you looking for? He looked me right straight in the eye and he said, Siegel, does everything that you do for this company work? I said, well, what kind of question is that?
It must. You're still paying me.
And he said, I've been back here a lot looking in the scrap box. And he says, part of my job is to make this plant profitable, and I didn't want to throw away a bunch of stuff that was being made that wasn't used. And I said, well, you're wasting your time. And I said, do you know what 2 Timothy 2:15 says? And he says, no, I don't believe I do. And I said, well, you might ought to look at it sometime. Study to show yourself approved unto God. I said, my approval here is not to you. You're not my boss. But I said, we work for the same people, but so I guess that is our leaders. And I said, unless you've got a problem with what I do. And he said, well, I've never seen you throw away anything like that. I said, no, sir, and you won't either. Because I said, I've got a plasma cutter here. I've got a cutting torch. I've got all kind of things. If it doesn't work, and I work it out to where I see that it's not going to work, I'll cut it up and throw it away. You won't recognize it when I cut it out. Because I've never got a print from you. You've never given me anything that you said, take this and see if it'll work, Cecil.
Yeah.
And I said, I look for the approval of the man that writes me my check. And I said, I use 2 Timothy 2:15 because it's the example of somebody that does the work of God. And they're not ashamed of what they walk off and leave this there.
Yeah.
And I said, that's what I want you to get. But I said, I'm going to tell you something. I said, if you go out and get in your car and you start to leave here and it's raining, And I said, you go around these two curves in this parking lot before you get to the guard shack down there, and you feel a bump, 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 and you realize you got a flat tire. I said, all the people that work for you, I doubt if one of them would stop and hold the umbrella for you to change your tire. And he says, well, why do you think that is? I said, you're micromanaging instead of helping. And I said, you need the approval of the people that you work with. That doesn't mean that, you know, if they're doing something really wrong or something bad, that you don't need to straighten it out. But it's the fact that I think it's the way you're going about it. And I said, you don't need to come back and look at my trash can no more. And he didn't. And I didn't get chewed out for it either.
So, gentleman's agreement,
and the fact is that if you treat somebody and you can tell them what their problem is, if you see their problem and their situation in work, and we all have to work, well, man, not all have to work for a living, but, you know, generally we have to work for a living. We have to answer to somebody. And Sandy Cutler from Cutler Hamner was the head of Eaton Corporation. And when he found out that I was going to retire, he took 30 minutes out of his lunch time down at Clemson one day in a meeting and tried to talk me out of not leaving. And so I felt like that.
Meant a little bit, yeah.
That it meant something to me. That's what I wanted to do for the work of Christ. I wanted to be an approved workman. And there ain't no retirement in the work of God. You can't retire from God's work. If you do, you're not being faithful to the Lord to the end. Because there's always something that needs to be done. I'm sorry for the rambling on, but I wanted to make the point. And may God approve that, because it's important in this day and time that we treat each other as human beings. God bless you.